بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until yawm al-qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to al-Madinah. And it is page 30 in your English books. And the author, rahimahullah, he said, ثُمَّ هَاجَرَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَعَهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَمَوْلَى أَبِي بَكْرٍ عَامِرِ بْنُ فُهَيْرَةٍ. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, migrated to Al-Madina, accompanied by Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and the freed slave of Abu Bakr named Amir ibn Fuhayra. وَدَلِيلُهُمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ الْأُرَيْقِطِ اللَّيْثِ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ وَلَمْ يُعْرَفْ لَهُ إِسْلَامٌ. And their guide was Abdullah ibn al-Urayqit al-Laythi, and he was a disbeliever, and it isn't known that he accepted Islam. وَأَقَامَ بِالْمَدِينَةِ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ, and he remained in al-Madina for 10 years. So this is with regards to the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. And the meaning of al-hijrah is al-intiqal min balad al-shirk ila balad al-islam, migrating or moving from a country of shirk to the country of Islam. This is the definition of al-hijrah. And the ruling of al-hijrah is that it will remain legislated until yawm al-qiyamah. The legislation of al-hijrah from the lands of shirk and kufr to the lands of Islam remains so until yawm al-qiyamah. However, the hijrah from Mecca to al-Madinah, this obligation has finished. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he conquered Mecca, Aam al-Fath, when Mecca was conquered, the obligation of making that hijrah from Mecca to al-Madinah, that finished. And even though we speak about one hijrah, i.e. the hijrah from Mecca to al-Madinah, however, the companions, they actually did three migrations. So there wasn't only one hijrah, rather there were three types of hijrah. And that is that whilst they were in Mecca, during the early era of the prophethood, the punishment of the Quraysh towards the Muslims, it became severe. And of course, the Muslims at that time, they were weak. And they were small in number. And many of them were slaves, and the poor, the women and the children. And they were tortured day by day, and the torture would increase. And Allah subhanahu, He had ordered the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to not reply back to the Quraysh, to not fight against them. Allah said, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and turn away from the mushrikeen. Meaning don't reply to them as they do with you. However, when the harm of the mushrikeen of Quraysh in Mecca became severe, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave his companions the permission to move to a country or move to a place which is more safe, in which they will not be harmed and they are able to openly practice their religion. And so the companions, they heard of a country in Africa, at that time known as Habasha, which we translate as being Abyssinia. And today, it is Ethiopia, Eritrea, Djibouti and Sudan and that region. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he suggested to the Muslims that they move to this place. And he praised this country. And in this country, there was a ruler called An-Najashi. The word An-Najashi, this wasn't the name of the ruler. Rather, An-Najashi is the emperor of Habasha. Any emperor or king of Habasha who came was known as An-Najashi. And the name of An-Najashi was Ashama. So he was Ashama An-Najashi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to his companions, لو خرجتم إلى أرض الحبشة, why don't you go and live in the land of Habasha, Abyssinia? فَإِنَّ فِيهَا مَلِكًا لَا يُظْلَمْ عِنْدَهُ أَحَدٍ, because there is a king there and nobody is oppressed in that country. وَهِيَ أَرْضُ صِدْقٍ, and it is a land of truthfulness. حَتَّى يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ فَرْجًا, until Allah makes an opening for you and you are able to return. So the companions, a small group of them, they exited from Mecca and they traveled towards Habasha to live there. And this was 5 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received revelation. And the number of people who moved from Mecca to Habasha, and this was the first hijrah, al-hijratul ula, the first hijrah was from Mecca to Al-Habasha. They were 15 people, 11 men and 4 women. And amongst these 15 virtuous companions were some of the greatest Sahaba. So amongst them was Uthman ibn Mad'un. And he was the stepbrother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also Uthman ibn Affan. And his wife, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ruqayya bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also Az-Zubair ibn al-Awam, and Mus'ab ibn Umair, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Abu Salma, and his wife Umm Salma, and also Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So these were some of the virtuous companions who made this trek and this arduous journey from Mecca to Al-Habasha, of course, going by sea. And when these 15 companions, they were there, after a while, news spread that the people of Mecca have entered into Islam. And now it is safe for the Muslims to come back to Mecca. So these 15 companions, they then returned back to Mecca. However, when they returned to Mecca, they saw that the punishment was even more severe. And the Prophet and the rest of the companions were going through even more difficulties. So then they returned back to Al-Habasha. However, a larger group of companions now returned back to Al-Habasha. So this was Al-Hijratu Thaniya, the second hijrah. The second hijrah, which was the second group of companions from Mecca to Al-Habasha. And this time, they were 83 people. Husbands, wives, and they children. And amongst them who went, who was the Amir of that journey, was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who was the brother of Ali radiallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this time, because there was a larger group of companions, 83, some of the mushrikun from Quraysh, they also went to Al-Habasha. And they went to An-Najashi, and they requested from him that he rejects the companions, the Muslims, and he returns them back to Mecca to the Quraysh. And there was a conversation which took place between An-Najashi and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And this conversation, in this conversation, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he explains to An-Najashi the greatness of Islam and the beauty of Islam. So we'll study the conversation which they had. And remember, the Muslims are there, and also some of the chieftains from the Quraysh are there in front of An-Najashi. And around An-Najashi are his servants in his palace, who were all Christian. So at that time, Al-Habasha was a Christian country. It wasn't a Muslim country. And Ja'far said to An-Najashi, Ayyuhal Malik, he said, O King, Kunna qawman min ahli jahiliyyah, that we were a people from the people of jahiliyyah. Na'budul asnam, we used to worship idols. Wa na'kulul mayta, and we used to eat the meat which wasn't slaughtered. Wa na'ti al fawahish, and we used to commit the immoral, lewd actions. وَنَقْطَعُ الْأَرْحَامِ and we used to break the ties of kinship. وَنُسِيءُ الْجَوَارِ and we were bad towards our neighbors. وَيَأْكُلُ الْقَوِيُّ مِنَّ الضَّعِيفِ and the strong one used to oppress and exploit the weak. فَكُنَّا عَلَى ذَلِكَ and we remained upon this. حَتَّى بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا until Allah sent to us a messenger. نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ and we know his lineage, meaning he is of a lofty, noble lineage. وَصِدْقَهُ and we know his truthfulness. وَأَمَانَتَهُ and we know that he is trustworthy. وَعَفَافَهُ and we know he is dignified. فَدَعَانَا إِلَى اللَّهِ so he called us to Allah. لِنُوَحِّدَهُ وَنَعْبُدَهُ that we should establish his tawheed and that we should worship Allah alone. وَنَخْلَعُ مَا كُنَّا نَعْبُدُ نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا and that we should stop worshipping that which we used to worship and our forefathers. مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ وَالْأَوْثَانِ the stones which we used to worship and the idols which we used to worship. وَأَمَرَنَا بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ and he ordered us to be truthful when we are speaking. وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ and that we should fulfill the trust. وَصِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ and we should keep the ties of kinship. وَحُسْنِ الْجَوَارِ and we should be good towards our neighbors. وَالْكُفْ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ وَالْدِّمَاءِ and that we should not violate that which is sacred and we should not take the blood of the people. وَنَهَانَا عَنِ الْفَوَاحِشِ and he forbade us from the immoral actions. وَقَوْلَ الزُّورِ and the false statements. وَأَكْلَ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ and consuming the wealth of the orphans. وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْسَنَةِ and he forbade us from falsely accusing a chaste woman. وَأَمَرَنَا أَن نَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ and he ordered us to worship Allah alone. لَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا and that we should not ascribe partners to him. وَأَمَرَنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ and he ordered us with the salah and az-zakah and fasting. وَعَدَّ أُمُورَ الْإِسْلَامِ and he mentioned various things about Islam. Ja'far said, أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكُ O King, فَصَدَّقْنَاهُ so we believed him. وَآمَنَّا بِهِ and we had iman in him. وَاتَّبَعْنَاهُ عَلَى مَا جَاءَ بِهِ and we followed him in that which he came with. فَعَبَدْنَا اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ so we worshipped Allah alone. فَلَمْ نُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا and we did not ascribe partners to him. وَحَرَّمْنَا مَا حُرِّمَ عَلَيْنَا and that which was haram upon us, we considered it to be haram. وَأَحَلَّلْنَا مَا أُحِلَّ لَنَا and that which was halal for us, we did it and considered it to be halal. فَعَدَى عَلَيْنَا قَوْمُنَا and then when we did this, our people, they showed us animosity. فَعَذَّبُونَا so they punished us. وَفَتَّنُونَا عَنْ دِينِنَا and they tested us because of our religion. لِيَرُدُّونَا إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ so they could force us back to the worship of the idols from the worship of Allah. وَأَن نَسْتَحِلَّ مَا كُنَّا نَسْتَحِلُّ مِنَ الْخَبَائِثِ and that we carry on doing the evil and the impure actions which we used to do. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu, consider the things which he mentioned when he was giving da'wah to An-Najashi. He mentioned At-Tawheed and he mentioned being good to the neighbors and he mentioned being truthful in speech and being trustworthy and staying away from immoral statements and immoral actions and protecting the honor of the chaste women and salah and az-zakah and he mentioned the other beautiful actions and aspects of Islam. And then Najashi, when he heard this and he was contemplating what the Muslims were saying to him, he became attracted to Islam. So then he said to him, هَلْ مَعَكَ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ that do you have anything with you which you can recite that Allah, a God, has revealed to him? قال جعفر نعم. And Ja'far said yes. قال النجاشي اقرأه علي. So then النجاشي said, recite that which you have. And so Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he chose to recite a surah from the Quran which mentions the prophets of Allah, like Isa alayhi salam, and Zakariya and Yahya. Because Najashi and the Christians, they recognize these great prophets of Allah. So he recited some ayat from Surah Maryam, in which Allah said, Kaf ha ya ain sad, Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya, Idh nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya, and the other ayat from Surah Maryam. And when An-Najashi, when he heard these verses and these words being recited to him beautifully, he realized that this is the truth. Until the narrator mentions that An-Najashi, he started to weep until his beard became wet with his tears. And then An-Najashi said, Inna hadha walladhi ja'a bihi Isa, that verily this which you are reciting and that which Isa came with, La yakhruj min mishkatin wahida, that both of them have come from the same source. Both of them are revelation. And then he turned to the chieftains of the Quraysh and he said, Intaliqa, go away. Fawallahi la uslimuhum ilaykum abada, by Allah, I will never return these people to you. And the reason why I mention this great conversation which took place between Ja'far radiallahu anhu and An-Najashi is to understand the beautiful aspects of Islam which the Muslims were upon. Look which matters Ja'far radiallahu anhu mentioned. Of course, he mentioned At-Tawheed and he mentioned As-Salah and As-Zakah and As-Siyam. But he also mentioned that the Prophet ordered us with being good to the neighbors, a great part of our Islam. The Prophet ordered us Muslims to be good to our neighbors and to speak truth with everybody, to be truthful and to fulfill our trusts and to protect the honor of the chaste innocent women and to keep the ties of kinship and to stay away from the khabith actions and the fawahish and all of the other beautiful aspects of Islam which he mentioned. And subhanallah, if the Muslims today, if we were upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called to and that which Ja'far mentioned to An-Najashi, you would find this country, it would become a Muslim country. Like Habasha, all of it. It was a Christian country and it became a Muslim country. But al-aybu fina, the problem is within us. And the Muslims, they remained in al-Habasha until the 7th year of the prophethood. And they lived there in complete tranquility and safety. And these companions who went there, the 11 who I first mentioned, and then the 83 who did the second hijrah, they are known as Ahlul Hijratain. Those companions who did the two hijras. Because they did hijrah from Mecca to Al-Habasha, and then they did hijrah from Al-Habasha to Al-Madinah. And then they caught up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the companions when they were in Al-Madinah. So this group of companions, they have a great virtue in Islam. And they are known as Ahlul Hijratain, those who did the two hijras. Most of the companions, they only did the one hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah. However, these companions, they did two hijras. And the first person to ever make hijrah was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and his wife, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ruqayya. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned this in a narration. He said, أَوَّلُ مَنْ هَاجَرَ Uthman, that the first who made hijrah was Uthman, بَعْدَ Lut, after the Prophet of Allah, Lut alayhi salam. So Lut alayhi salam, he made hijrah and he left his people, and also Uthman radiallahu anhu. As for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the rest of the companions, they stayed in Mecca because they weren't able to make hijrah to Habasha for various reasons. And all this time, the punishment of the Quraysh became more severe. Especially after the death of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Abu Talib, even though he was a kafir, a mushrik, and he died upon kufr, but because of his love towards his nephew, he would protect them. And also Bani Hashim. Because the Quraysh, there were various sub-tribes within the Quraysh. Maybe 10 or 15 different tribes within the Quraysh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was Hashimi Qurashi. He was from the tribe of Hashim, Bani Hashim, from within Quraysh. And also Bani Hashim, under Abu Talib, would protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a certain degree and some of his companions. And this is the only reason why the other Quraysh could not kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they feared that if we do this, then the rest of Bani Quraysh will wage a war against us. And then, and whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, tribes used to come to Mecca, and they used to come for trade, and they used to come for Hajj, and they used to come for Umrah, and they would pass by. And every time a delegation came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to the delegation and try to give them da'wah to Islam, and also ask them whether they are willing to take the Muslims and to protect the Muslims. And every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to a delegation, Abu Lahab would follow, and he would say, لا تسمعوا له فإنه كذاب. He would say to the delegation, don't listen to this man Muhammad. Verily he is a liar. Oh, he is Majnoon. Oh, he is a magician, Sahir. Oh, he is a Kahin, fortune teller. Oh, he is a Sha'ir, a poet. And he would try to deter the delegations and the tribes from accepting Islam. Until a delegation came from Al-Madinah. When this delegation came, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them da'wah to Islam, Allah opened their heart to accept the truth. And one of the reasons why they immediately accepted the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because the Yahud who were in Al-Madinah, they knew of the coming of a prophet, because it was in their scribes that a prophet will come. There will be one more prophet before Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And the Yahud at that time, they used to threaten the inhabitants of Medina with the coming of a prophet. And they used to say that we are waiting for the prophet to come. And when this prophet appears from amongst us, the Jews, then he is going to fight along with us against you, and he is going to kill you. So the Yahud of Al-Madinah, they were waiting for this prophecy. However, they used to think that the prophet would be from amongst them, from their tribe and their lineage. However, Allah subhanahu, He chose the Prophet to be from the Quraysh. And they realized that this is the Prophet. However, he isn't from their lineage or their tribe. And so they became jealous. And this is why they rejected the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to their jealousy, that why is he not from Bani Israel? Why is he from the descendants of Ismail alaihi salam? And this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Or are they jealous and envious against the people over that which Allah has given them from His blessings? So, because the inhabitants of Medina, because they used to always hear the Yahud of Medina saying a prophet is going to come, a prophet is going to come. When they then heard of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's calling to Tawheed, they understood that this is that prophet that those Yahud were warning us against. And they were proud over. So they accepted the message. And therefore they give the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just outside Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pledge he took from them is the first pledge, that will you protect the Muslims in Al-Madinah like you protect your children? If you're willing to protect us like you protect your own children, then we will move to Al-Madinah. And the Ansar, they accepted this and they gave the pledge to the Prophet ﷺ. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he gave permission to the companions to make hijrah from Makkah to Al-Madinah. And one by one, in small groups, they started making the journey from Makkah to Al-Madinah in secrecy. At night, they would leave. And then only a few Muslims remained. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained, Abu Bakr remained, Ali radiallahu anhu remained, Asma bint Abi Bakr, she remained, and just a few companions, they remained. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he then made the decision for him to also leave Mecca. The same time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made this decision, the Quraysh, they also hatched a plan to finally kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they said that one of us cannot kill Muhammad, because if one of us kill him, then Bani Hashim, his tribe, they're going to seek revenge from our tribe, and they're going to fight us, and they're going to seek blood money and cut off relations and boycott us, and we will not be able to deal with this. So what we will do is we will take the most courageous youth from each tribe. From 10 different tribes, we will take a youth from each one. So there'll be 10 youths now, 10 young people, 10 young men. And each of them, we will give them a sword. And all 10 of them can go to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at night. And nobody will know, Bani Hashim will not know, which one of these various tribes has killed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore, Bani Hashim, which is one tribe, they want to be able to fight 10 or 15 different tribes. So therefore, they're only going to ask from us blood money. And this blood money, we can distribute it or share it over 10, 15 tribes. And therefore, each one of us will not pay a lot. So this is the plot which they hatched. So 10 or more young people from all the various tribes with a sword, they approached the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they had surrounded the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was no escape for him, Allah blinded those people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was able to escape, and they did not realize that the Prophet is escaping. And this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran. He said, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, when those who disbelieved, when they plotted against you, لِيُثْبِتُوكَ, that they should do away with you, imprison you, أو يَقْتُلُوكَ, or they should kill you, أو يُخْرِجُوكَ, or they should exile you, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ, and they plot, and Allah was also plotting, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is the best of the plotters. And Allah said in the Quran regarding them, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah said that we placed in front of them a barrier, and we placed behind them a barrier, and we blinded them until they could not see. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left, these young men, they didn't realize what was happening. So they entered into the house of the Prophet, and they saw somebody lying in his bed. And they unsheathed their swords, and they lifted the blanket, and they found it was Ali radiallahu anhu. However, they refrained from killing Ali radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had already passed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had decided with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that at night, both of them, they would make hijrah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a slave and he had two camels. And he said to this slave, and his name was Amir ibn Fuhayra, that take these two camels and go to the desert and allow the camels to graze in the desert. And then when we meet you at a certain place, then we will ride the camels and we will leave. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr, both of them left at night. And of course, this hijrah wasn't something which was easy for the companions or the Prophet, because this was his land, Mecca. And it was the land of his forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. And this land contained Al-Kaaba, this great sacred place. And Mecca was the most beloved place to Allah subhanahu. And yet they had to leave this beloved land to them. And it was their birthplace, and where their property was, where their family was, where their lands were. Everything was in Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he was leaving on the outskirts of Mecca, he turned back towards Mecca. And he said, Wallahi, by Allah, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ أَنَّكِ خَيْرُ أَرْضِ اللَّهِ وَأَحَبُّهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, by Allah, I know that you are the best land of Allah and the most beloved land of Allah to Allah. وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ أَهْلَكِ أَخْرَجُونِي مِنْكِ مَا خَرَجْتُ. And had it not been for your people, i.e. the people of Mecca, exiling me from you, O Mecca, I would not have left. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he turned towards Mecca and he said, مَا أَطْيَبَكِ مِنْ بَلَدْ. How good of a land are you. وَمَا أَحَبَّكِ إِلَيَّ. And how beloved are you towards me. وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ قَوْمِي أَخْرَجُونِي مِنْكِ مَا سَكَنْتُ غَيْرَكِ. And had it not been for my people exiling me from my land, i.e. Mecca, I would not reside anywhere else. And as you know, Al-Madina, which at that time was known as Yathrib, it wasn't known as Al-Madina, it is towards the north of Mecca. So Mecca is south and Medina is north. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were making hijrah to Al-Madina. So they were meant to go north. However, the Prophet and his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they went to Jabal Thawr. And Jabal Thawr is a mountain which is towards the south of Mecca. So first the Prophet and his companions, they went south a number of kilometers, and then they stayed there for a certain number of nights. And this was to confuse the Quraysh, because the Quraysh knew that the companions were going towards Al-Madinah. So they started going towards the north. So in order to deceive the Quraysh and confuse them, the Prophet first went south. And they went and they hid in this mountain and this cave, Jabal al-Thawr. However, the Quraysh, they also realized. So they also went to Jabal al-Thawr. And they came to the foot of the cave. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, both of them, they were hiding in the cave. Up until they became so close that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ or أَحَدُهُمْ إِلَى مَوْضِعِ قَدَمِهِ لَأَبْصَرَنَا. That had one of the Quraysh looked at his own two feet, he would have seen both of us here. But they didn't see the Prophet nor his companion radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he saw the footsteps and the shadow of the Quraysh at the foot of the cave, he became worried and anxious. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he comforted him and he relieved him. And he said to him, Ya Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ أَلَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. That what do you think about two people and Allah is a third of them? Meaning, why are you scared and we are two and Allah is with us and He's going to help us and His victory is with us? لَا تَحَزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Do not worry, because Allah is with us. And the meaning of Allah is with us, meaning Allah is above His throne. However, He is with us with His victory and His support and His guidance and success. And as for the story of the bird laying a nest in front of the cave and a spider making a web at the mouth of the cave, then this is something which is mentioned in the books of history. However, it doesn't have an authentic chain of narration. So it isn't something which is authentic. Wallahu a'lam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the Quraysh, after they lost hope and they couldn't find the Prophet, they went back to Mecca. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with his companion, they both left Jabal Thawr and they made their journey towards Al-Madinah, towards the north. And Allah subhanahu, He revealed an ayah regarding this. Allah said, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. That if you don't aid the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then verily Allah has already aided him. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When those who disbelieved, they exiled him. ثَانِيَثْنَيْنَ. And they were only two. Ay Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. When both of them were in the cave. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When he said to his companion, لَا تَحَزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Do not worry, do not become sad. Verily Allah is with us. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah sent His tranquility upon him. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And Allah aided him with angels that you did not see. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى. And Allah made the word of the disbelievers lowly. وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلِيَا. And the word of Allah, He made it in authority. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah is Al-Aziz and Allah is Al-Hakim. And on their way, they hired a guide. And this guide, he was a non-Muslim. He was a kafir. And it isn't known that he accepted Islam. And they employed this guide to guide them to the best way and the best direction to reach to Al-Madina. Also, during the Hijrah, we shouldn't forget the role a great woman played when it came to Hijrah. We know what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. And we know what Ali radiallahu anhu did. He remained behind. However, there was also a woman. And she also played a great role in this great historical event of Islam. And that was the daughter of Abu Bakr, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma. And that is that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and her father, when they were hiding south, kilometers away in Jabal Thawr, for a number of nights, she was still in Mecca. And she would gather food for them and drinks and provisions, and then on her own, at night, she would walk all the way to Jabal Thawr to deliver the food and the drink to them. And then she returned back to Mecca. And then she would gather more food and drink and provisions, and nobody knows. And in secrecy, at night, with courage of Iman, she would go to them again. And one of the nicknames of Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma is Dhatun Nitaqain. And Dhatun Nitaqain, the one who possesses the two nitaq. And she was given this nickname, as Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, that Asma bint Abi Bakr, she had a waist cloth. And she wanted to take food and drink to her father and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, she didn't have anything to cover the food with or to carry the food with, poverty. So she tore her waist cloth in two. And she used half of it to tie her clothing with and half of it to carry the food with. And this is why she is known as the one who possessed the two waistbands. That and Nitaqain. So then the Prophet and his companion Abu Bakr, they met Ibn Fuhayra, who was the slave of Abu Bakr, for the two camels. And also Abdullah ibn Urayq al-Laythi, and he was a non-Muslim, he was their guide. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he reached the outskirts of Al-Madinah. The people of Medina, they had heard the news of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaving Mecca, and that he is coming to Al-Madinah. And so every single morning, the people of Al-Madinah, the Ansar, they would go out to the outskirts of Al-Madinah in the morning. And they would stay there all the way until Dhuhr, until the weather became very severe. And there was no shadow for them, because now the sun is at its peak, its zenith. And then they would return back to their houses. And they would do this every morning, hoping to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on one morning, they went to the outskirts of Al-Madinah and they stayed there all the way until Dhuhr, until the heat became unbearable, and then they returned back to Al-Madinah. And there was a Yahudi who lived in that area, and he saw that two camels were coming and there were two men on these camels. And he knew it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he called out to the Muslims in Al-Madinah. And he said, the one who you're waiting for has come. And so then the people of Al-Madinah, they came out in order to welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't enter into what is now Al-Madinah, or it was then Al-Madinah immediately. Rather, he entered into a small village just before Al-Madinah. And this village, it is what is now known as Quba, the area which is Al-Quba, or where Masjid Quba is. At that time, what was Yathrib was a very small place. And 1 or 2 kilometers south of Yathrib was Al-Quba. At that time, it wasn't known as Quba. It was known as the inhabitants of, I think, Banu Auf. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went there first. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained there for 14 nights before he entered into Yathrib, into what is now Al-Madinah. And in those 14 nights, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he built what is now Masjid Quba. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to enter where the Ansar were, i.e. the inhabitants of Al-Madinah, Yathrib. So he sent a message to Bani Najjar. And Banu Najjar, they were the inhabitants of Al-Madinah. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a relation with Banu Najjar. Because his mother was a relative from Banu Najjar. And perhaps also his father had a relation to Banu Najjar. And so 500 companions or 500 Ansar from Banu Najjar, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Quba. And they came to welcome him and take him to Al-Madinah. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entering into Al-Madinah, then the word got out. Ja'a Nabiyullah, the Prophet of Allah has come. And the men came out onto the streets to welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the women, they climbed the roofs to have a look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also the children spread out in the roads, saying, Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. And Al-Bara ibn Azib, and he's one of the companions, he said, Ma ra'aytu ahla al-Madinah farihu bi shay'in ka farahihim bi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, I never saw the people of Medina more happy and more joyous than the happiness which they had when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered. As for that which many people have heard, that when the Prophet was entering into Al-Madinah, the people of Medina, they sang a nasheed, i.e. a form of poetry. The famous nasheed of poetry which is sung today, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyatil wida. This isn't correct, and neither is it authentic. And I asked one of the scholars of Al-Madinah when I was studying there, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhullah, and he was sitting in Masjid Quba when I asked him. And I asked him that this nasheed or this poetry, is it authentic that the people of Medina, they said this when the Prophet was coming? And the Shaykh Hafizullah replied that this piece of poetry, it is correct and authentic. Meaning the companions did say, Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyatil wada. However, it wasn't said when the Prophet was entering from Mecca, going to Quba and then going to Al-Madinah. Rather, this was said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from the battle of At-Tabuk. Because this place, Thaniyatul Wida, the piece of poetry, it means that the moon, the full moon rose over us from Thaniyatul Wida. And the Shaykh said that this Thaniyatul Wida, this is towards the north of Medina. It isn't towards the south of Al-Madinah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he entered into Al-Madinah, he was entering from the south. So this poetry, or this nasheed, it is authentic, but when the Prophet was returning from Tabuk, from the north, and not when the Prophet was making hijrah from the south. And the books of the seerah, they mention that as the Prophet was entering into Yathrib on his camel with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he was surrounded by the Ansar, that each one of them, they wanted to have the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam first staying in their house. Because of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't have a house. So each one of them wanted the honor. And each one of them came out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of them bearing gifts and presents and words of welcome and trying to take the reins of the camel. And the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu, she came out. And she said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, everybody has come to you with gifts. However, I am a poor woman and I don't have any gift. وَهَذَا بْنِي Anas. However, this is my son Anas. And if you want to use him as your khadim, then use him as your khadim." And this was the gift of the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu. And so Anas radiallahu anhu, like he said, خَدِمْتُ النَّبِيَّ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ, I stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 10 years as his servant. And he's known as Khadimun Nabi. The nickname or the laqab of Anas radiallahu anhu is Khadimun Nabi. Khadimun Nabi. Ala kulli hal, when the Ansar, when they were trying to take the Prophet and take reins of the camel and take it to their houses, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, "Da'u an-naqa." Leave the camel alone. Leave the camel alone. فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةً, because it has been inspired. It has been commanded. فَبَرَكَتْ عَلَى بَابِ أَبِي أَيُّوبِ. And so the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, naturally it went towards the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. And it kneeled in front of his house. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered into the house of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. And the house of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, it had two stories, the ground floor and the top floor. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered to the ground floor and he wanted to stay there. And so Abu Ayyub and his wife Ummu Ayyub radiallahu anhuma, they stayed above. However, it was difficult for them. The how can the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam be beneath us on the ground floor and we are upstairs? And so they didn't sleep that night. And then they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Abu Ayyub said, "Ya Nabiyallah, O Prophet of Allah, bi abi anta wa ummi, may my father and mother be sacrificed on your behalf. Inni la akrahu an akuna fawqak, I hate for me to be above you. Wa takuna tahti, and you are below me. Fadhhar anta fil ulu, so you take the upper floor. Wa nanzil nahnu fakunu فَنَكُونُ فِي السَّفَلِ, and we will come down, so we are below you. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he refused. He said, Ya Aba Ayyub, O Abu Ayyub, إِنَّ أَرْفَقْ بِنَا وَبِمَنْ يَغُشَّانَا أَن نَكُونَ فِي سَفَلِ الْبَيْتِ, that it is easier for us and those who are going to come to visit us that we are on the bottom story. And some of the books of Seerah, they mention that such was the respect of Abu Ayyub and his wife, that when they walked, they wouldn't walk across the top floor. Rather, they'd walk across the edges of the top floor. And if they ate or they drank, they'd eat or drink towards the side of the room, not in the middle of the room, so that they aren't above the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub for 7 months. And then the Muhajirun, of course, they were also there. And like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muhajirun, they had left their properties, left their businesses. Some of them left their families. Some of them, their properties were taken away from them. No money, no house, no income. And so the Ansar, they used to sacrifice their wealth and their houses and their gardens for them. So if one of them had two houses, he would say to one of the Muhajirin that choose whichever one of the houses that you want and you can take that one. And if one of them had two gardens or two farms or two thobes, then he would say take whichever one of the two which you want. And that is for you, and I will take the other one. And this is why Allah, He praised the Ansar in the Quran. He said, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارُ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that those people who were inhabitants of the place, i.e. Al-Madinah, before them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, and they love those who have migrated towards them, i.e. the Ansar, they love the Muhajirin. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا, and the Ansar do not find in themselves any need or any desire for that which the Muhajirin have. That which the Muhajirin have, the Ansar, they do not want. At the same time, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, at the same time, they give what they have to the Muhajirin, even if they need it. But they sacrifice what they need for their brothers and sisters from the Muhajirin. And then Allah said, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, that those who prevent themselves from stinginess, they are the ones who are successful, either Ansar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then ordered for another masjid to be built. And this is what is now known as Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. And also Yathrib, it then became changed, the name changed to Al-Madinah Al-Nabawiyyah, the name of the Prophet, the city of the Prophet, Al-Madinah Al-Nabawiyyah. And as for Al-Madinatul Munawwara, this isn't what it was known at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the ulama, amongst them as Shaykh Hamad Al-Ansari, from the great muhaddithin of Al-Madinah rahimahullah, he mentioned that this name Al-Munawwara and Madinah Munawwara, this was spread much later on. And the meaning of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara means the city which contains the light, the enlightened city. And what they are referring to is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Nur. So this name was given to Al-Madinah by some of the sects who came afterwards, who used to believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is light. And therefore they call it Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. However, the correct name is Al-Madinah Al-Nabawiyyah, the prophetic city. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he now ordered for the masjid to be built. And there, and he purchased a land, a piece of land, which is owned by two orphans from Banu Najjar. And then the companions, they all came together and they started clearing their land. So first, they uprooted the palm trees which were in this land. And then they removed the stones and they made a qibla with the stones. And all of them would build the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was building it with them, with leaves and with palm trees and with the trunks of the trees and with stones and so on and so forth. And whilst they were building it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions would sing a piece of poetry. They would say, Allahumma innahu la khayra illa khayra al-akhira fansur al-ansara wal-muhajira. They would say, O Allah, there is no goodness except the goodness of the Akhirah. So give victory to the Ansar and the Muhajirin, the Muhajira. And in a narration, Allahumma la isha illa isha al-akhirah. O Allah, there is no life except the life of the Akhirah. Fansuril Ansara wal Muhajira. So give victory to the Ansar and the Muhajirin. And the masjid, it was initially built with, it was a loose building with the leaves of the date palms. This is how it was initially built. And then, 7 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the masjid was built with stones and it was solidified at that time. And of course the companions, the Muhajirun, they were used to Mecca. And Mecca and Al-Madinah, some of you know, the weather and the environment, it is totally different. So Mecca, the heat is very dry. And in Al-Madinah, there is a moistness or a rutuba in the weather. And Mecca, it is desert. However, Al-Madinah, it was farms in which dates used to grow and grapes used to grow and figs used to grow and so on and so forth. So the change in climate was very difficult for the Muhajirin. So much so that many of the companions, they became very ill. And it is mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he developed a fever. And also Bilal radiallahu anhu developed a fever. And many of the Muhajirun found it very difficult to settle into Al-Madinah. It wasn't easy for them to settle there. And so Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, informing him and complaining to him that the Muhajirun are finding it very difficult to settle in Medina because of the change in climate and losing their jobs and not having any income and so on and so forth. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made a dua to Allah that Allah makes Medina beloved to him and his companion, the Muhajirin, and makes it easy for them. He said, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-Madina. O Allah, make al-Madina beloved to us. كَحُبِّنَا مَكَّةَ أَوْ أَشَّدْ. Like we love Mecca, or even more than our love towards Mecca. وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي صَاعِهَا وَمُدِّهَا. And place barakah in the weight or the volume of al-Madina, meaning the crops and the grains and that which is produced, place barakah in al-Madina. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a dua, Allahumma imdi li ashabi hijratahum. O Allah, make the hijrah of my companions successful. Wa la taruddahum ala aqabihim. And do not send them back to where they have come from. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then remained in al-Madina with his companions, as the author said, 10 years. And after these 10 years, Allah subhanahu, he chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take him from this earth to the noble companionship. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived 63 years, 63 blessed years upon this earth, 40 years before prophethood, and then 23 years as a prophet and a messenger. Of these 23 years, 13 years in Mecca, and then 10 years in Al-Madina. And in reality, there are many, many lessons that we can take from the hijrah of the Prophet and his companions. The first of these lessons is that we, as Muslims, we should utilize the various strategies and the tactics and the means and the avenues to protect the religion of Allah and to carry and convey the religion of Allah. Had Allah wanted, He could have given the Prophet a miracle and destroyed the Quraysh, and the Prophet and his companions would remain in Mecca. But this isn't Sunnatullah. This isn't the nature which Allah has created. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was forced to devise a strategy and a move. First go to Habasha, an avenue. And then from Habasha go to Al-Madinah. And even when he went to Al-Madinah, all of it was a strategy and well thought and well planned. They went south first, instead of going north. And they left at night, and nobody else knew. They left Ali radiallahu anhu in his bed. And they had arranged for Ibn Fuhayra to meet them at a meeting point with the two camels, and so on and so forth. So strategizing and planning the da'wah and doing things properly to convey the message of Allah, this is something which is from Islam. And for this reason, our masajid and our da'wah shouldn't be run in this unprofessional manner. Rather, it should be well thought of and funded well and planned properly. Also, from the benefits of the hijrah is that Islam is not restricted to any place or any city. So notice, Mecca is the most beloved land to Allah, yet when the Muslims couldn't practice their religion in Mecca, they left Mecca and they went towards Al-Madinah. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died and Al-Madinah was the next most beloved place to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions, they left Al-Madinah and they went towards Iraq and Sham and Asia and the West to convey Islam. So Islam isn't restricted to any one place or any one masjid or any one town or city. Also, from the benefits of this great story is how the companions, they preferred that which Allah loved and Allah wanted over what they wanted. So they didn't want to move to Al-Madinah and leave their families and leave their properties and their lands and their animals and their cattle and their income. But because this is what Allah and His Messenger wanted, they left. And also towards Al-Habasha. And Habasha is a different continent. It's Africa. And they had to cross the sea. And the people of Makkah were not used to water. And they weren't used to the sea and travelling by ship. Yet they had to do so. Also from the benefits of this great story is sacrificing. That you have to sacrifice that which you have for the sake of Islam. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, when he left Makkah, he turned towards Makkah. He said, Wallahi, innaki la khayru ardillahi wa ahabbu ardillahi ilallah. Verily, O Makkah, you are the most beloved land of Allah to Allah. Walawla anni ukhrijtu minki ma kharajt. And had it not been that I've been exiled, I would not leave. But he had to sacrifice that which he loves and his birthplace for the sake of Allah. And also Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu. And he was one of the first companions to make hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah. And also Mus'ab ibn Umair, one of the first people, if not the first person, to make the hijrah. Both of them were from the wealthy people. But they sacrificed their wealth. Until the Quraysh came to Suhaib. And they said to Suhaib, Ya Suhaib, Ataytana su'lukan haqiran. Said, also Suhaib, when you came to us, you was a nobody. And you were poor. And you were belittled. You had no status, nothing to your name. فَكَثُرَ مَالُكَ عِنْدَنَا. And then your wealth, it increased with us. وَبَلَغْتَ الَّذِي بَلَغْتَ عِنْدَنَا. And this position which you have now, you have this position because of us. Because we helped you and we gave you the success. ثُمَّ تُرِيدُ أَن تَخْرُجَ بِمَالِكَ وَنَفْسِكَ. And now you want to leave us and you want to leave with your wealth and your property. وَاللَّهِ لَا يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ. The Quraysh said, by Allah, we will never allow you to do this. Meaning, you were nobody yesterday. And now you want to leave with after everything that we've given you. So what did Suhaib say? He said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O Quraysh, in ja'altu lakum mali, if I give you my wealth, atukhulluna sabili, will you then allow me to leave? Qalu na'am, they said yes. He said, fa inni qad ja'altu lakum mali, then here's my wealth, here's my property. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he said, rabiha Suhaib. That Suhaib has become successful. Also from the benefits of this great journey, this great event, is that a Muslim shouldn't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, 13 years they stayed in Mecca, facing difficulty and torture and exile and being boycotted. They were boycotted by the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go from tribe to tribe, to tribe, to Taif and back, and to different delegations, giving Islam to them, and asking them, أَلَا رَجُلٍ يَحْمِلُنِي إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Is there no person amongst you who will take me to his people? فَإِنَّ قُرَيْشًا قَدْ مَنَعُونِي. Because the Quraysh have prevented me, the Quraysh have oppressed me. However, all of them, they would refuse. And it is mentioned in the books of Seerah that 15 different tribes the Prophet ﷺ approached. And each one of these 15 tribes, they rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the Ansar accepted him. And remember, when the Ansar accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wasn't a young man, he was 50 years old. He was 50 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then made the hijrah from Makkah to Al-Madina. Also from the benefits of this hadith is the virtue of Abu Bakr, ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار. That he was the second of the two when he was in the cave. And all of this, it showed us that Abu Bakr was to be the next Khalifa. So when they were in the cave, he was the second. And when the Prophet was ill, he was on who would lead the prayer. And when the Prophet was busy, he would be his deputy. All of these are alluding to the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the correct second or first Khalifa. Also from the benefits of this hadith is the virtue of Asma bint Abi Bakr and the great role a great woman played in this great journey of the hijrah. And she's known as Dhatun Nitaqain. And also the great virtue of Ali radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to remain behind, because he was also from Bani Hashim, so the people wouldn't kill him. And one of the reasons also why Ali radiallahu anhu remained behind is because the Prophet still had some items with him that people had given him. Because the people would give the Prophet items as a trust to keep, or he'd borrow things from the people. And these things still remained with him. So the Prophet told Ali radiallahu anhu to stay in Mecca and return everything to the people. And this is why Ali radiallahu anhu, he came later on to Al-Madinah, because he had to return all of the items and all of the trusts back to the people. And also from the benefits of this hadith is that it is permitted for a person to employ the non-Muslims and to seek refuge with the non-Muslims if they can protect their religion, like they did with An-Najashi, and it was a Christian country. Like they did with Abdullah Al-Urayqit Al-Laythi as their guide, they employed him as their guide, and he was a kafir. And wallahu a'lam, he died upon kufr. So these doubts that people come along nowadays, that you're not allowed to work with the kufar, you're not allowed to take a loan from the kufar or give the kufar a loan, none of this is correct. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to interact and deal and buy and sell with to the non-Muslims, and he was honest and trustworthy towards them. In fact, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he had a shield which had been mortgaged or pawned with a Yahudi. And this was just before his death, when there was a situation of war between the kuffar and the Muslims. And also from the benefits of this hadith is the virtue of the masajid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first two buildings he built were two houses of Allah, before his own house. He stayed in one place for a number of weeks and he built Masjid Quba. He didn't have a house. And then he stayed in somebody else's house for 7 months, building the house of Allah, and he didn't have a house. So he preferred the house of Allah towards his own house. And from the benefits of this great journey is the virtue of Al-Madinah and the inhabitants of Al-Madinah, and the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for Al-Madinah. He said, Allahumma ja'al bil Madinah baraka. O Allah, place blessings in Al-Madinah. And he said, Allahumma inna Ibrahim abduka wa khaliluka wa nabiyuka. O Allah, verily Ibrahim is your worshipper, and he is your khalil, and he is your prophet. Wa inni abduka wa nabiyuka. And I am also your worshipper, and I am your prophet. Wa innahu da'aka li Makkah. And Ibrahim, he made dua to you for Makkah. Wa inni ad'uka lil Madinah. And O Allah, I supplicate to you for Al-Madinah. Bimithli ma da'aka li Makkah. With the same dua that Ibrahim made for Makkah. And for this reason, the companions, because of the barakah, they didn't become ill anymore. So the illness which they had, they were cured from this illness. And they were able to reside in Al-Madinah. And even now, the blessings in Al-Madinah, they remain because of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one who lived there for a number of years knows the blessing of the place and the tranquility which a person feels, and the blessing of the wealth and the food which is there, and the blessing of time which you spend in Al-Madinah. The person enters into Medina for a single night and loves Al-Madinah. And then Al-Madinah becomes the most beloved place to that person. And if that person returns back to his homeland, but Medina remains in his heart, and he wants to return back to Al-Madinah. And the one who used to live knows more than those who did not live there. And there are many other benefits from this great incident of or event in Islam. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.